Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SSO podcast, Coffee with Your Counselors. We want to connect with you on topics that you feel are important. You're the most important one here. Whether it's school-related, current events, or pop culture, or topics related to wellness, each episode, you are welcome to a seat around the table. More than anything, we want you to know that you're not alone and that we care about what you're going through. So welcome back to another episode of Coffee with Your Counselors.
Welcome back to Coffee with the Counselors. I'm Miss Diedrich.
I'm Miss Amy.
And we're here today for another Hold Up Who Dis with our Muslim students. We've asked four students to talk with us today to highlight their experiences and learn a little bit more about them. After our conversation with our Asian American students last month, Miss Amy and I were really encouraged to learn more about them and spend that time with them. So we're excited to have you all with us today.
Maybe one thing you can do is just go around and introduce yourself, say your name, what year you are, any fun fact you'd like to share.
My name is Sophia. I'm a subbie.
My name is Saif. I'm a senior.
I'm Mehdi. I'm a senior.
I'm Hannah. I'm a sophomore.
Okay, so first thing, first question that we have for you all, maybe if you can kind of talk about any specific traditions you have being Muslim students or with your families, anything, maybe the course of the year, maybe there's like a specific holiday that is meaningful for you or something you do with your families, something that you find meaningful that's specific to being a Muslim family.
Okay, so a specific tradition which my family does is we go to our Eid prayer together. So our Eid prayer, we have two Eids in a year. One is typically in the summerish, and then one is usually, well, one varies because of Ramadan and the lunar calendar. But normally we go to our prayers together. So what our family likes to do is that we'll wake up really early, like 6 a.m., and we'll eat some food together. And then after that, we'll all go together in a car to our local mosque, and we'll do our prayer, and we'll meet with our community. And then typically after, we'll get something to eat with our friends, or we'll go visit family.
In my family, Muslims pray five times a day, as many people know. In my family, we try to pray together after school when like all of us are home. So after we pray, we usually have like really meaningful conversations, and it's nice.
Safe, I mentioned this, but Ramadan is like a period where Muslims fast for 30 days, and I guess it's kind of a tradition since like wake up early in the morning, we eat some food, and then the entire day we don't eat or drink water until like sunset, and then we have like a nice somewhat large feast, but like it's better to like eat a little and then pray, then eat enough to like get yourself somewhat full. Then we do that, you know, once a month or an entire month for the year, and then yeah, that's a tradition.
Mm-hmm. So you keep talking about feasts and food. What kind of food do you guys enjoy or like are meaningful or something you look forward to having at those events?
An obvious one is dates. Muslims usually break their fast with dates. Fruits too, like I know the mosque. The mosque hosts iftar, so like during Ramadan sometimes. And they have like dates with like watermelons and like other fruits, like grapes and stuff to like break the fast. That's a nice thing I'd say most Muslims do. Because generally Muslims, they're a pretty diverse group of people, right? So like it's not like one set like type of food that all Muslims eat. I'd say dates are probably the most universal thing that mm-hmm. Muslims eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of just building off what Mahdi said. Normally everyone starts off their like we break our fast by eating a date and having some like hydrating fruits or like hydrating foods, because you're probably gonna be pretty dehydrated from the day. But then after that, like your appetite is pretty like, it's pretty open and you're like, you're ready to eat. So what I usually do is I'll have like a good protein meal. So like some sort of protein like chicken or beef, and I'll have some rice. And then my mom makes this this Indian dish called biryani. And I really, really like that, especially like after a long day. It's just like a filling meal, makes you feel comfortable. So that's what I normally break our fast with after the dates and hydrating foods.
To add on to the DC theme, my mom makes me, or like after we fast, there's like this meal that she always makes. It's called pilau, and it's made with like many different kinds of meat, but she mostly makes it with lamb, and it's like very seasoned rice, and it's very good.
Are there multiple mosques in town?
Actually, there's like only one, well, I call it a masjid. There's only one masjid, like kind of in Urbana. There's one far away, I don't know where, I think Monticello or something. But yeah, so people have to drive a long way, like from Savoy or Champaign, to come to the mosque every day.
So if people are going to the mosque, they're going to the same mosque. Okay. Does that contribute to having a pretty close-knit community?
Of course, yeah. I mean, other places like in the world have a lot more mosques. I mean, it's obviously nice just like you can choose from, you know, different areas. But like the nice thing about having one mosque is that like everyone knows each other and like sure gets crowded a lot. But and even I think there's talks of like expanding the compound, maybe even making a new mosque. And there's some other centers like around the area, which aren't really mosques, but like just still gathering areas. Abyssinia, stuff like that. But with that, it's like it's kind of nice to have more space, but also like such a close community. Like I know a lot of people, you know, my entire life just because you know I've gone to them that one mosque with them since childhood. You know, going to like Sunday school lessons with them, just going to Friday prayers. And sure, it's kind of a small place. You know, you've probably seen it. It's kind of like wedged between some places, but you know, it's still a nice building. Yeah.
And I would say that it's especially good because it's right on campus. It's about like a 5 minute walk from uni. So it's really accessible for uni students and also just college students because like they can come right out of their classes and go to the mosque, which is like really good. And that's actually what contributes to the mosque being really crowded because a lot of the college students actually take up the space more than anything, to be honest. But I also like that because, you know, you get to see people who are a little bit older than you and then you can go together as friends if you go to UI, you see to the mosque. So it's pretty nice.
How often do you go to the mosque?
Okay, so I think Madi mentioned this, but we have Friday prayers. So we go basically every Friday if we can. But because of school, it kind of coincides with the time because it's around 12 to 1 p.m. So what we sometimes do is that we'll get together with some of the Muslims at uni and we'll host our own Friday prayers. And in our Friday prayers, we have to have like what we call a khutbah or like a lecture. So we'll do like a short lecture right before our prayer, and then we'll do our actual prayer, which isn't that long. And we're able to get it done in like even 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. But also Madi mentioned this, but Sunday schools is what some people go to. Personally, I didn't go to that, but I know quite a few people did go to that. And they would teach you like Arabic. They teach you like things about the Quran, our prophets, and just like things about Islam. And even sometimes I heard that they would talk about like other religions, like in the Abrahamic faiths and like how we're similar to them and how we differ. So yeah, I think so.
I mean, it's tips and most of the stuff about the Sunday school stuff, but it's like a morning program that lasts a few hours. I'm not in it currently anymore because I'm like almost at home. But I don't know if anyone would hear what we want to talk about who's in it right now, but it's yeah, but it's a nice like place, you know, aside from just Friday prayers and stuff. It's a more casual environment. Not that going to the mosque is not casual in the first place, but just like a place where you can be with your friends. And like go to classes, go outside, play in the playground, all that stuff. So it's in school.
I'm almost done with Sunday school. It goes to high school, but we mostly talk about like different religions and also like how Islam impacts our world and like the values of it. So it teaches us like our, we have teachers and they teach us like to be kind to people and the beliefs of Islam. So like we have a prophet and one God and stuff like that. And also for like going to the masjid, Simic, which is the masjid, actually has a family night once a month, which is nice because it's open to everyone, like non-Muslims can come too. and we can just like learn about Islam and other topics.
I have some questions about fasting because one, fasting is like not an easy discipline, right? But one question is like, what age do kids start fasting?
Muslims are supposed to start fasting when they hit puberty. It's mandatory when they hit puberty. But before puberty, like often I started when like I was 8. So, and we start by like doing half days of fasting. We don't just jump into like 10 hours of fasting. So like when you're little, you'll often like fast half the day, and it's a nice experience.
So, do you feel like it is difficult, or have you gotten used to kind of these seasons of fasting, or?
Well, when it comes to fasting, it kind of varies, like on first of all what you eat in the middle of the night, because usually Muslim families wake up before sunrise to eat a bit before we start fasting. So it kind of depends on what you eat then, but also just fasting in like in this kind of like community, it's you kind of forget that you're fasting a lot of the times. And also, since we have school during Ramadan, it's a lot easier for me to fast, because like right when you come back from school, there's like a couple hours left. But yeah, so it's pretty easy when you get used to it.
I can add something. So about habits, I feel like last year, for example, like I always have this habit. I think last year, 2 years ago, I always go to the water fountain in the morning, drink like 10 seconds from it, and then go on, right? That was nice. Just gotta stay hydrated. But when Ramadan came, I can't do this anymore. And you're thinking, oh, this is a habit that's, so deeply ingrained in me, it'd be hard for you to like break it. I just find myself, just remember, don't drink water or like all that stuff. And it sounds kind of silly, but like with fasting, it's like your body's kind of itself, realizes that it's different in different times, different modes you gotta switch into. And it's like, because it's different than like, let's say one day you just forget to bring lunch, they don't eat until like, I don't know, dinner, right? You skip breakfast too. In that case, your body's not really ready. But like with fasting, like you already mentally prepared yourself. You're like, I know I'm gonna fast, and then in that sense, it's not really hard. And also, Islam's also a religion of like, it's not trying to make your life difficult, right? There's like exceptions in like cases where like you don't need to fast. Like here's some examples. Like for example, we have like when you're traveling, you don't need to fast, but you need to make it up at some point later on. And then if you're sick, obviously, you shouldn't be fasting. It'll treat yourself, make yourself better, and then you can fast later on. And there's other cases too. We want to talk about it, but God doesn't want to make your life difficult. The point is, this is much for yourself. It's about self-improvement, and yeah.
Might be some good points there. But for me, I think the hardest thing is not having water, because I did track last year with Ramadan, and when you work out, you really start to feel it. Because honestly, like getting throughout the day in school, like everyone said, it's not that hard, because you kind of forget about everything. There's just so much other things that are going on that you don't really think about eating or drinking water. And especially since you do it early in the morning and you get into the routine, you don't really notice it. But when you're working out and when you're sweating and when you're seeing everyone around you drink water and when your mouth is parched, that's when you really start to feel it. And I think really, at that point, that's like where it's hardest for me, because I can go the day without water and food because I can just make it up at night. I can make it up throughout like other days and stuff like that. But when you work out, it's like the hardest. Like that is when you really, really feel it. And our coaches are always very accepting about that and they understand that. But it also kind of, you want to like push yourself. You want to like work out. You don't want to like bum out of anything. You want to like still do everything as normal. But yeah.
Do you feel closer to God whenever you fast? Like as part of your religion, like do you feel like the is it like do you feel a connection more?
With who, sorry?
Oh,
Oh, with God. Oh, I mean, of course, right? Like the same through fasting, right? I mean, yeah, like it's kind of a constant reminder of like, you know, why are you doing this, right? Maybe you're like you're hungry. Or I don't say, but like, I mean, it's also generally advised like during Ramadan or fasting to like read more Quran, which is like the book of God, and that's obviously another way to remind yourself that, you know, you're doing this for God, also for yourself too.
Also, during Ramadan, it's as he said, it's like really encouraged to like go to the masjid and read the Quran and like because good deeds, it's said in the Quran that good deeds are multiplied, I think, 70 times more during Ramadan. Or that was a hadith, but so people try to do as much good deeds as possible and read the Quran as much and go to the masjid and pray, and it encourage a lot encourages a lot of Muslims to start getting back into good habits, and that helps them even outside of Ramadan.
And also just adding on to what everyone else was saying, but the point of Ramadan is not just to starve yourself. It's not to like be hungry and be thirsty. It's to kind of make you realize and have like this God consciousness and to like realize that like all these things are just temporary, right? Like you literally will fast for 10 hours, but then you'll get full in 10 minutes. So it just really shows you that, you know, everything in this life is temporary, and it really kind of like wakes you up in a way. And for me, it kind of feels like a soul like rejuvenation because it like refreshes me. It gets me back into my good habits. It makes me like pray on time more often. It makes me go to the mosque more often. It makes me want to connect more with my religion. So for me, I think that's like the important thing because honestly, if you fast just to like not eat and not drink, you're not really getting anything out of it. You're not really helping yourself.
Also, I feel like it really makes you grateful for what you have because so many people don't have the privilege of eating whenever they want. So it really puts into like your head that we're so lucky to be able to eat whenever we want, to drink water whenever we want.
And do you call God Allah or God or both?
We call God Allah, and then we have to say Subhanallah Ta'ala after that. It's just kind of it's like peace be upon. We know that's the other one.
It's glory to be almost.
Yeah.
But
My apologies. You were referencing God earlier, so
oh
then
yeah.
I was like, oh,
Okay,
perhaps it's the same.
it's interchangeable. Like
Yeah.
Allah is God in Arabic. I speak Farsi. We say Khuda, which is the same thing. It doesn't really matter what it is. It's like it's the same God as the Abrahamic faith, same God as in Judaism and Christianity. And I mean, maybe it's the fault of Muslims like of like insisting all the time that we should call Allah and not God. Because the truth is Allah is God, and like I feel like Christians and Jews and all these other religions would accept Muslims more probably if they're like, we realize it's the same God we're worshiping. So Allah is God, interchangeable. Yeah.
And Hannah kind of briefly mentioned this, but whenever we say our prophets' names, so even like Jesus, we always say peace be upon him after, just to give them like that level of respect. So like even with like Adam, we always say peace be upon him, or like Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Also, there's actually a lot of names for God, and there's 99 names of Allah. I'm not gonna say them all, but yeah, they all have different meanings. Like there's Ar-Rahman, which means like I forgot. Yeah, so there's Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. So yeah, there's a lot of names for God.
I will add, learning all the names of God is one of the things that we learn in Sunday school from like a young age. We would have a contest, and if you could name all 99, you'd get like a piece of candy.
That's it.
So yeah,
To earn your piece of candy.
I did earn my piece of candy. But there's not just 99 names of God, there's like infinite names for God. So Yeah, but those are just like the ones that we know.
And just kind of like to further explain what everyone's trying to say, basically the names of God are just like attributes to him. So like the most merciful, the most forgiving, the king, the ruler of the world, you know, just things like that. They're not like different gods in that way. Because I know like some people do get confused about that, but they're all like the same God. It's just like his attributes.
So in like Christianity, like there's like a baptism part of that, right? Where you're choosing to like follow whatever. Is there something like that in being a Muslim, like where you're choosing like to dedicate your life?
The name for it, we call it, is Shahada, which basically you say that there is only one prophet and his name is Muhammad and sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is only one God.
And to add up to that, how is like my Sophia said, say the Shahada, it's like a declaration of faith. If you're born to the religion, I'm pretty sure you don't need to do that. That's how it works. But for converts, usually they just go to their mosque, local mosque, and then they say the Allahu Akbar to Islam. And then the imam, the community leader, guides them. And it's kind of a cool event to see because like this happened like last year. This is one guy who was in high school who converted to Islam, right? And then basically after the Friday sermon, he went up to like the podium, whatever, alongside the imam, community leader. He repeated the declaration of faith. And then everyone, you know, I don't want to say cheered, but like everyone showed their support. And it's kind of a cool like community thing just to like see people like declare their faith. And the whole point of this like to have like one to make this like declaration seem like really genuine, like you're doing this in front of a group of people. And they're also going to kind of, I don't want to say hold you accountable, but it's kind of a reminder that, like, you know, you're doing this for a reason. You're declaring your faith. And that's a cool way, I guess, of like Muslims proving who they are.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. So another question, are, you know, what kind of barriers or difficulties have you encountered being Muslim?
So Islamophobia is a big one. Especially, I feel like Muslim women are the brunt of Islamophobia because we wear hijab or like the scarf. So we are like the most like detectable as like Muslim. So like I for one have experienced like people like pulling my scarf and stuff, and yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, also adding on to that, Islamophobia, it's a big thing, even in like younger generations, because like even when I was like in middle school, I experienced that, and it's even like the small microaggressions, like calling a Muslim a terrorist, because I was like the only hijabi in my school, so it was just the small things. Also, just people saying, "Oh, are you bald under there?" You know, it gets to a point. Also on campus, I feel like it's kind of dimmed down, but there's also some Islamophobia there. And yeah, I remember one time there was like someone preaching, and then they started like looking at me and saying, "Oh, Muhammad isn't real," and stuff, and like into the microphone and stuff. So it's just all the things adding up.
Well, I said I'm lucky in that I haven't experienced stuff as bad as you still mentioned so far. I kind of a funny story. I don't know how funny it'd be. I almost didn't cut or not. But I think Sid can relate to this story. One time, you know, I was in the airport, right? I'm just going through the check-in, right? And then they say, "Oh, we gotta do a random check on you." I'm like, "Okay, that's great." And they pat me down. And I'm like, what, like, freshman or sophomore? And like, I mean, this is a small case, but like a lot of Muslims go through this, and they have some funny stories too. But like these random checks are kind of annoying. But like, I mean, obviously some terrible stuff happened in the past, but it's unfortunate that people who are innocent are going through this stuff. Yeah.
I think for me, it's really when they look at my name because I'm obviously a lot younger and I don't have like a beard and stuff. Like the physical attributes of what you think about maybe I would say Muslim, a Muslim man, but I do get stopped in the airport quite frequently, and they actually do like the bong testing. Like they'll pat your fingers and they'll do like the swab test on your hands and your shoes and like around you just to make sure that you don't have anything. But there have been instances where I was about to go and like literally right as I'm about to go, they'll like look at my passport, my name, my middle name in particular, because it's Muhammad, and they'll stop me and they'll question me, they'll ask me things. And it's terrible because it even happens in like foreign countries and Muslim foreign countries. So yeah, that's basically what it is. But I remember my dad telling me that it was especially bad right after 9/11 because they were really, really targeting Muslims. And even our synagogue, our mosque, they were doing surveillance on me. And they had people coming into our mosque apparently who were like, I don't know the full validity of this, but they said that they're not real Muslims, and they're just trying to get like inside. They're working with the FBI, just trying to make sure everyone's doing good things in the mosque. It was really surprising, honestly.
I will say, I think almost every Muslim has had those random checks because, like, every single time you go to the airport, at least someone in my family gets a random check, and it's kind of annoying but funny at the same time because they're still holding on to like that thing where like Muslims are terrorists and stuff, but yeah.
A little bit more of a lighthearted challenge, I suppose. Praying at this school, because like as mentioned earlier, you gotta pray 5 times a day, like a kind of allotted time slots of sorts. But sometimes you can only pray like during a time during school. Like you pray outside of that time, it's like considered late or whatever, and that's not great. But praying at school at uni can be kind of a challenge sometimes. I mean, one thing you have to do is like make wudu before you pray, which is like kind of like a cleaning thing. Gotta like put some water on your face and arms and stuff. And before we had the single-use bathroom, it was kind of awkward going to the bathroom and like putting water on your face and stuff. Teachers would see me sometimes and be like, they wouldn't say anything. No one would ever say anything, but like, me like putting water on my face and like on my feet or whatever. But it was kind of awkward always. But like now that we have like the single-use bathrooms. Nice, you can just go in, clean yourself before you pray. And then where you actually pray though, that's another quote unquote challenge because it's like there's not really a dedicated room for praying. I mean, we have a sensory room now, which is nice. But usually I just pray in the past, like in the library, in like a little corner, which isn't great, but you gotta do what you gotta do for your religion. So
Is there any other challenges you want to share before we move on?
let me, sorry, 1 second.
Maybe just explaining what Ramadan is to other people, because like I've gotten questions. So you don't eat for 30 days straight, you don't eat or drink 30 days straight. So like kind of explaining everything to them is good. But I think other than that, people are pretty understanding it, at least especially.
I mean, yeah, naturally, aside from me, like a minority religion, of course you're gonna have like some sort of like difficulties. I guess like a prominent view. But I mean, thankfully, Champaign Urbana, those are good places for Muslims for the most part. So thankfully, I haven't gone through that much. Unfortunately, others have. So, I mean, maybe it'll get worse in the future. Who knows? As we get older. So,
So what's something that you feel that uni does well to like help celebrate you or help support you as a student? Or maybe they don't, and
I
that's
mean, no, there are some things like. Definitely in the past when we wanted to like do our Friday prayers more consistently. Like I know I think it was KRAD back in the day, or maybe it was Majerus. Like we used to pray in like uni gym for our Friday prayers. That was a nice big area. Just like generally whenever we ask people about like spaces to pray and stuff, they're usually pretty willing. They'll open doors for like a sensory room, let us in, if they're locked. It's like whenever we ask them something, it's good. We just gotta ask. And I wouldn't say they go out of their way to help us, which is fair. If they don't know what we need, we just gotta remind them if we need anything.
Do you feel like people just need to be educated better so that you don't always have to feel guilty?
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's hard to educate everyone about every single religion. Like, there's like so many religions. Like, you need to be a diverse place, which I mean, it would be ideal if everyone knew about it. But it's like time, it takes time to learn about this stuff. It takes resources and effort, which I've appreciated personally, but once again, I really want to like take time when it's not like that necessary, I feel like. Because it's not really complicated religion, Islam, and our needs aren't that complicated.
I think the hardest thing though is that our prayer times change. Like as the year go by, like as you get closer to winter, our prayer times shift, and also daylight savings. So like even on us sometimes, like the times are confusing. Like sometimes we don't even know what time of prayer is because of all the shifts and everything. So it would be a little bit unfair to expect everyone to know. But I feel like there are things that we can do, like just give them like a general time when we might have to pray. So like if we have to step out of class maybe for 5 to 10 minutes, like that is why we're going. We're not just like leaving class to take a break and not telling them. But I think for the most part, like Madi said, everyone at uni is very accommodating. Like everyone listens to you, and when you tell them something, they won't like bat an eye. They'll let you do it. You just need to tell them.
So maybe the last question can be, what is a word or something that you find the most joy in being Muslim?
I'd say like meaning or purpose. Like, it really gives you like something to look for, look forward to, or like just like gives you a purpose in this life. Because personally, like religion reminds me of like why I'm like, for example, being a good person, or like why I'm like doing everything I'm doing in this world as a whole. But, for me, it's important to have this like sense of direction and like sense of hope, honestly, too, because Islam is kind of hopeful religion also. It's like justice will be served eventually. People who did good things will be rewarded. And it's like it's nice to like know that even though like a lot of things in life aren't that great, there's like a light in the tunnel, and like that gives me hope. And like it's good to have that reminder, but
Yeah, I agree with Madi. He made some very good points. For me though, like a word that really sticks with me that's like kind of in our religion is the word called tawakkul, which basically means like having trust in God. So just knowing that things will work out. Like if you put your everything in something, like you work really hard for something and it still doesn't work out, you should still have like that trust in God. Like just know that it happened for a reason. And if you do your everything, you just have to leave it to God at that point. So it just gives you that kind of reassurance to like work hard and not worry about what's gonna happen if things don't work out.
Going back to the names of God, I'd say Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, really like sticks to me because like everyone makes mistakes, everyone does bad things, but if you just go back to God and ask for forgiveness, he'll hopefully forgive you. And yeah, I think it's very nice that, yeah.
Also, just another good thing about it's not a word, but another just good thing about being Muslim is that like we're kind of all like a community, and we all have similar experiences, and like even just walking and seeing another Muslim, we say assalamu alaikum most of the time, which means like, well, yeah, but we just say it as hi, but it means like,
Peace be upon you.
yeah, okay, I'm gonna work on that. But yeah, so I lost my train of thought. So we just are kind of like a family. We all have these similar traditions, and yeah.
So going back to when you said we're all family, we actually call fellow Muslims like brothers and sisters in Islam. We treat each other like we would our brother and sister. So it's like a very close-knit community. Like even if I go to like, I don't know, like some other country or like state, they'll most likely be very welcoming because that's just how Muslims are. They're very welcoming, so anyone's welcome to go to masjids and stuff.
Oh, also, we talked about how like people asking all these questions sometimes can feel discomforting as a Muslim, but sometimes like we understand and like It's a good thing that everyone's like curious and asks res a lot of people ask respectfully. So it's like people for the most part are really accepting, and so it's just it's not terrible being Muslim, you know.
Well said.
So as we wrap up, I think I know we are believers of mutual flourishing, right? So we're just thankful that we have Muslim students within our community because you all make our community a better place within the like broader community as well as at uni. So thank you for your vulnerability and for sharing. I think it is important to share and educate just everyone in general so that we can all respect one another and also know how to like, yeah, just kind of appreciate the good. So, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.